This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. How aligned are your business standards with the core values of yourself and your team members? What are your corrective action plans? From the Aftermarket Radio Network, it's Carm Capriotto with the Remarkable Results Radio Podcast. I'm with Clint White at Vision 2022 as we discuss accountability and when things don't go as planned in your business. It happens to everyone, but how to address it is a critical step some owners miss. Hey, thanks to our partners Apex and Shopware for providing this episode. You know, Apex 2022 will again feature Repair Shop HQ with you in mind. That's right, this one-stop destination is to meet the product, equipment, and training needs of shop owners, managers, and technicians. It's all happening at Apex 2022, November 1st through the 3rd in Las Vegas. Be there. Listen here, right here, for registration information. Hey, nothing personal, but your customers don't want to hear your voice anymore. They want a text telling them what's up and when they can get their wheels back. Make communication easy with cloud-based software that allows customers to pay their bill quicker. On the web at getshopware.com. Hey, once again, from the Vision 2022 studios, it's Carm Capriotto. You probably can tell it's the third day, because I have my Barry White voice on. So anybody who listens to me often that comes from conferences, I do get a little grovelly, and I hope I don't disappoint here on our last day of recording at Vision. Always thankful to the team at Vision for giving us this wonderful studio right on the edge of the Expo Hall. Clint White is with me. Hey, man.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
You too.
What topics are you training on?
So I was honored to teach a class yesterday on the delivery and cash out process, where we spent about 3.5 hours breaking down how to resell the value of the repair with that touch point at the delivery process.
So give the customer a real warm and fuzzy that they're going to be happy about, tell their friends, and realize no matter what it is that they spent, they got a lot of value.
In a nutshell, yeah, I would say the best way to encompass that is to guard the customer's experience at all costs. And that even means at the innocuous moment in time where you take their card, hand them the keys, here's the receipt, and there's the door. I think we do it all wrong. And so I was able to break down what I believe is the correct process and how we eloquently and valuably cash out your customers.
And if you weren't at Vision, you didn't hear.
You missed it. This afternoon, I get to teach on active listening and clear communication, so there's still time. Sneak in the back.
Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate you doing all those classes. Everybody's going to just be overjoyed, I'm sure.
Oh, I love it.
I asked you to come here because I just love your analysis on so many things that are going on in the industry. So many people know you, Clint. Coaching with Integrity is the name of the company, coachingwithintegrity.llc. He's a aftermarket consultant, a coach and a trainer, been around the horn, been in the bays, you know, done all the work that was necessary. And he's a wise, wise man. And we want to talk about little levels of accountability, but is the tech shortage for us, Clint, a blessing?
I think ultimately it will be a blessing because it will force us to improve.
If you don't realize the opportunity is there, you're really continuing to have your feet in the mud.
Absolutely, doing the same thing day in and day out and expecting different results. I believe there is a definition for that.
Yeah. Absolutely. So the answer is, we can say it so easily. We can literally just say, okay, you have to be accountable. Thanks, it was nice. Mm-hmm. See you. We'll see you in the next episode.
Yeah, sure.
How do you do it?
Accountability is a process that you have to actively participate in. It's kind of like the lottery. You got to play to win.
Interesting, Clint. Have you had any experience with the lottery?
Tracy, I appreciate you asking me that. I don't play regularly because I think it can become habitual and addictive. But I happened to randomly buy a Powerball ticket here not so long ago, and I won the Powerball, just the ball. I thought, well, that was kind of cool, $20, and so turned it in. What do you do with $20? Yeah, just grab another ticket. Why not? The next week, I won the Powerball. Well, that's random. Let's do it again. And so for 3 weeks in a row, I won the Powerball.
Yeah. $60?
$60. Not a bad return on investment. And then the fourth week I lost and I cashed out.
You kept putting the money back in?
Yeah, I just put the money back in.
Cool.
Yeah. Kind of fun with it.
That voice that you heard was Tracy, my daughter, Capriotto Tracy, and they were both standing in the Starbucks line. I was wondering, where the heck is Clint? Come on, we got to record. She texts me. She says, we're both going to be late.
We were buying coffee to soothe the aching voice. Yeah.
100%.
Exactly right. And brought me back breakfast. So much of accountability, even with and for your people, are having standards. Let's talk about that.
In this industry, I think most shops have adopted some semblance of standards, right? You've got standard operating procedures or SOPs. And I have nothing negative to say about SOPs. I think they're required. The challenge is that many of our employees, whether service advisors or technicians, they don't genuinely know what the SOPs are, nor do they know what foundation they're built on. And so I like to joke around and ask when I'm teaching, does anybody know where their MSDS sheets are? And you get a laugh and a chuckle.
And what are those?
Material safety and data sheets.
Of course I know.
Yes.
And but you're so right. There's a point in time that the work to make them current, it was a full-time job for a month.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But there are services out there that will help you with
once
that.
Once they're current, they go back in a binder on the shelf to satisfy requirement, and nobody knows the content. So, Tracy, let me ask you, if you happen to splash methyl ethyl ketone into your eyes, what is the abatement process to protect your vision clean up?
That's interesting. So I'm assuming that's not going to be good.
It's not going to be good.
It kind of sounds like nail polish remover.
It kind of smells like it, too, yeah.
But usually there's like an eye wash area that you would douse yourself in,
yeah.
Right?
Right. And if you had an incident, would you go to the MSDS sheets and begin to feverishly read through to what should I do? Of course not. And you couldn't see because your eyes would be probably melting. And we do the same thing with our SOPs. We have a failure to follow process. Do we run to the binder? No, we don't. Because it doesn't mean anything, because there's not a value system established that supports
I see. So you can write the best process and set clear expectations, but if you don't support it, there's examples every day. I mean, somebody's yelling at the screen, at their audio device right now. That's happened to me. I can't believe it. You know, guy didn't torque the lug nuts and the wheel fell off. I mean, you've heard stories like that?
Yeah, absolutely. In my day-to-day interaction with a number of shops, I have, not even just recently, but over the course of COVID, even pre-COVID, we've seen instances where employees fail to not only just meet standards, but bad things happen. So, you know, wheels falling off and employees not showing up for work and service advisors not adhering to a sales process, poor customer experience. The list goes on and on. And the challenge therein lies is there's no accountability because of the shortage.
Oh, wait a minute. We really can't discipline. We can't remove because we'll be stuck in the mud.
I find that, unfortunately, many shop owners, and I'm sure that there are a number that won't even admit, but many shop owners struggle with corrective action, with reprimand, because they're afraid of losing an employee. And that fear of loss has paralyzed the growth process in our shops.
So well said. We have to take a step forward. I can imagine that the top shops that you coach, these aren't issues. The first time that that customer came back with that tire that spun, you know, a mile down the road, and you know they had to get picked up and towed in because we made an error. Mm-hmm. Top shops are going to remedy it. They're going to reteach. They're going to observe. They're going to discover: is that the first, second, or third time? Is this a pattern? Mm-hmm. You know, we have to manage toward that. And if not, and I bet you many people that are listening, they're saying, "Hey, it'll never get better. That issue will continue." And from the last time it happened, say it was a month ago, to this time, we have a pattern set. We have to fix it.
Yeah, absolutely. Neglect has never proven itself to be effective. And you can only put your head in the sand for so long. And I think there's a process that we have to embrace, and it starts with the top. I believe that leaders first must hold themselves accountable. The standards that we set for those that we employ many times we don't adopt ourselves. And that's a hard pill to swallow. How dare you say that, Clint?
You're right, Clint. If you can't drive the accountability from the top, no one... And first of all, God help the tech who may, I don't know, sloppy. Somehow, there was this mistake made. Mm-hmm. And it could be honestly legit. This person could be having a really bad day at
sure.
home. Something could have happened. You draw a blank.
Yeah.
And I do that occasionally.
We all do.
If the culture of the company didn't have that level of accountability, then it's going to keep happening. And we see companies spiral out. He says, I can't make money. There's every excuse in the world. Technician shortage. That's a bad marketplace. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm stuck in this hole and it's a rut and I can't find any good people and blah, blah, blah. And so many times, and you and I know that, it really starts at the top.
Yeah.
And by the way, beauty of coming to an event like this and meeting so many listeners. Because I asked them, please, when the studio doors open, please stop. If I'm in the hall, stop. I want to say hello. It gets better every year. Mm-hmm. And say, you have made such an incredible difference in my outlook on the industry and shown me a pathway that I must walk down. Help me find a coach. Help me realize I needed to join a networking group. Needed to have self-improvement. And we call this advancing the aftermarket. That's what me and the Aftermarket Radio Network does. And ultimately, I had to look myself in the mirror. I had to figure out what it was that I was doing and what I wanted and what my vision was. Even though they had a company, there's their company. They had to change themselves.
Well, Carm, you mentioned oatmeal. And lest I forget, I believe I reminded you not so long ago that you've done more for the automotive aftermarket industry than Wilfred Brimley has done for oatmeal and diabetes combined.
Yeah, you did say that once.
It's on record now.
Yeah, was that on one of our weekly calls, maybe?
It was on one of our weekly calls. I think I got a wild hair and sent you a meme. And I do speak in meme to different language.
And the Wilfred Brimley and the big mustache. I remember that, yeah. This is so cool. Clint holds a weekly call with a bunch of people, a bunch of great shop owners.
Yeah, shop owners group.
I think they've all been on my show once or twice.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm honored. Yeah. Thank you for having me hover and actually care about my opinion of stuff.
Absolutely. It's valuable. Everything that happens during that Wednesday meeting is absolutely valuable.
You know, you put your heart and soul into your work every day, but the automotive aftermarket, it moves fast, and staying competitive means staying up to date on the very latest training, new systems, and new products. At APEX, the Automotive Aftermarket Product Expo, Repair Shop HQ is dedicated to the service professional and is committed to pulling together some of the best training sessions to grow your technical and your business knowledge. The training is especially for technicians, service advisors, and owners. And inside of Repair Shop HQ is Joe's Garage. Now, Joe's Garage is set up with 10 bays and working lifts to demonstrate new equipment and the latest technology. Besides the latest tools and equipment, discover the newest in management and marketing tools and dedicated sections for tires, alternative fuels, diagnostics, and telematics. If you experienced Repair Shop HQ last year, you'll get even more in 2022. Hey, listen here for the latest information on APEX 2022, November 1st through the 3rd. Write that down. And for more information, visit aapexshow.com. Now, housing is already open, and registration will open May 2nd. Visit aapexshow.com. Nothing tells a customer that they need a new part faster than when they see a worn or a broken one in their hands. How do you do that in the digital age? Well, it's easy. Thanks to DVX, you can send photos and videos within its messenger platform. It's like nothing else you've seen in an auto repair SMS before. Take the best of an Amazon-like experience and use it in your shop to show customers how great you are. DVX also makes it easy for customers to drop you a quick text or answer in the messenger bubble that arises from the repair order. It's like magic. Customers love seeing what they need to do and giving you a quick answer. You'll see your business potential right in front of you. Your customers get on with their day, and you get back to the repair. Everybody wins. It's time. GetShopWare.com.
So we got a great company running. We fixed many of our problems. We've really got that accountability factor working. Our SOPs are, you know, they're rock solid. And if they're not rock solid, you know what we're doing with them. We're constantly improving them,
sure,
right?
Sure, absolutely.
We got to reward our people. I mean, I have to tell you, this has been an interesting session where people are coming back looking and saying, we got to recognize our people. If we don't do this retention thing, mm-hmm. if we don't make them an integral part of this company, they've got no reason to stick around.
To talk about reward and recognition, I think we have to back up just a little bit and talk about setting a clear, defined system of standards.
Okay. Yeah, right.
It's important that we lay out not just the standard operating procedure, but standards. In fact, in some venues, it's known as a fundamental value system or core values. As human beings, we strive to meet and or exceed our core values. They're ingrained in who we are. We struggle to obey rules, but if they're associated with values, we're more inclined to do the right thing. You see, we have traffic laws. Don't speed. Don't excessively speed. It's a law. You break the law, there's accountability, you get a ticket. We have rules. People break them all the time. If they understood at the core, the root, the nucleus of that law, it is, you will kill somebody or hurt yourself. Please don't do that. It's valuing human life. And if valuing human life is one of your core values, you won't speed intentionally. You may make a mistake, but you'll not set out to do wrong. And that's what we're trying to implement in our shops, is mistakes can happen. It's those that set out to do things under the radar that we have to stop.
Because you are working on a 60-mile-per-hour bullet.
A missile?
Yeah.
Hopefully the brakes work.
There you go. I mean, to value human life is, in my mind, a great core value of a top shop.
Of course.
Yeah.
So once you've established that fundamental value system, you have to set clear expectations based on that system. So those are the laws,
yeah.
the rules.
Yeah. Then you have to have a measuring stick somehow, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What does it mean to succeed? What does it mean to do the right thing? What does that look like? Can I quantify that? Can I put a number on it? Can I put an event marker on it?
Yeah.
We don't know what it means to succeed. It's like having a football field with no lines on it. Go, boys, win.
Right.
Where's the end zone? I don't know. Just run.
Just run. Run.
Run, Forrest. Run.
Perfect. Exactly what came into my mind. So let's jump back to the wheel fell off.
Sure.
And we're having our weekly meeting with our team.
Yeah.
We actually have to bring it up to the team.
Oh, yeah.
Even though Johnny over there, you know, hey, listen, Johnny had an incident. We talked about it. He understands what he did wrong. But we, as a collective team, need to be aware, if you're not, exactly what happened. We need to review why it happened.
Sure.
We just can't let this ever happen again. Because I think hiding behind this and not, again, corrective action and, you know, if we value human life, and that's one of our core values, and that puts our safety and reliability mindset to work every time we turn a wrench,
yeah.
we need to talk about this stuff. If not, guarantee it'll happen again. It goes back to one of the ideas that Hunt Demarest covered. If you're really looking seriously at your financial statements and the margin between the financials don't equal the margin that's coming out of the SMS, there's a lot of reasons for it, but one of them could be that you're buying parts, that you're paying for parts that you never had come in the door.
Oh, boy.
And if you're taking a careful look at that, there's a bunch of reasons why it could be, you know, again, I don't want to double, triple emphasize what Hunt is talking about in his show, but you can have an issue where cores and defectives, you're not getting your credits properly.
Yeah.
But sometimes there could be people five-fingering something or going to the parts store buying something for themselves. He brings up a great case where you go downstairs as the owner and says, hey, guys, I've been looking over the P&Ls. We got a little bit of gap in margin. I'm not sure exactly what's happening. Do we have all of our core? And that little bit of nudge, if you will, that dialogue helps people realize you're paying attention to stuff, and this stuff matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that we all behave differently when we know we're being watched. That's a universal principle.
Wow.
that harkens back to today's episode brought to you by the word accountability. Now, in the instance of the tire coming loose and nearly falling off and nearly ending the life of a sweet old lady, let me give you some details, and I think it might change your viewpoint. You see, in the shop, they have SOPs. They have the binder. They actually have a process called a double torque process, where one technician finishes the job, torques the wheels down, and then hollers, second torque. And another technician, whoever he may be, closest by, comes by, grabs a torque wrench, and walks around and re-torques all the wheels. And then, to solidify the deal, they both sign off on the repair order. And then it's turned in. Now, when you see the repair order with two signatures and wheels are falling off of a car as it leaves the shop, it's not a mistake. Humans make mistakes. Officer, I wasn't looking at my speedometer. I truly apologize. This was an intentional, reckless action. And for that, we have to have a process in place. This is the difficult conversation. These are the words that the shop owner doesn't want to hear because of the tech shortage.
And then you go back to, yeah, you just nailed it. I can't do anything about this. I can't imagine being without two techs.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, the knee-jerk reaction, and I can tell you I've run a number of shops, and in my younger years, a little more hot-headed than I am today, and I have, at the drop of a hat, let employees go for, you know, what I call, you know, blatant failures. I don't condone that. I think that's reactive. It's immature. So we have to have a process in place. Just like we have a process for torquing down tires and double torque and double signatures, do you, shop owner, have a process in place for corrective action?
Well, I can think of training right off the bat.
Absolutely. Training is key. It's a key element to adhering to standards. I can't just write a standard down, expect you to embrace it to your core, and then never teach you how to do it. No train, no gain. Vision 2022's theme song.
It is, yes.
Clint, do you know the meme where it's two employees and the one says, "You're not supposed to do this, but this is how I do it." It gets shared all the time. Everyone laughs over that because everyone, to some degree, relates to that.
Yeah. We have standards, but here's how I get away with this.
Yes.
We have standards, but they're not mine.
They're not.
So I'm installing mine in this situation. Right. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe sometimes people paraphrase, you know, this is how you're supposed to do it. It gets chunked up and then they relay it to another person. Hey, so do X, Y, and Z. It's like the telephone line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why there is a clearly defined system of standards. That's why SOPs have their place. They have their purpose.
So she just brought up this social media accountability thing. You're killing me. And I've never seen that, and thank God, because I would probably throw in the phone, right? But it's, if it's true, and everybody's saying, you know, I made a mistake today, and you know, because people talk about everything, they show everything. I mean, everything's transparent today.
Yeah, everything. People have no filter. You know, we could take this concept of accountability and mistake versus intentionality and take it to another venue that I think will hit home to most people listening. The divorce rate in America is pretty steep, probably for good reason. If you make a mistake, there's consequences. But if you intentionally set out to do wrong, you've sealed the deal. And that's the difference. Sometimes people mess up. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Not even close. But being intentional about doing things wrong. So we've talked tires falling off. I've seen, because there's...
Listen, that's not intentional if it was an honest mistake. But if it was the double banger that they didn't do right,
right,
that's, like you say, intentional. And frankly, I think you gave many shop owners the secret to how to prevent that. And that's the double bang.
Yeah,
I don't know why I'm calling it the double bang, but...
Probably should not.
No, it's the double torque, I'm sorry. the double torque, isn't that a swimmer's move or a diver's move?
I thought that was a dance move in the 60s.
Maybe it was. Oh, I would probably know. I have to think about that. dancing with the stars. Look at, there's a double twerk.
It sounds like you're saying double twerk, kind of.
Oh, no.
A double twerk. Well, I don't even want to go there.
Very good, Tracy. That. I mean, come on. That's that incredible youth perspective that we're getting here. Refreshingly.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for grounding us with your youth. I appreciate that.
There's a million things I could have just said, but I didn't. Dad, show some restraint occasionally. So we don't want to lose somebody.
Right. You don't want to lose somebody.
Do the consequences have to be defined in the plan, the policy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to have a defined set of tolerances, as you will. Having a corrective action plan, I think, is really your next step. I think that having a defined corrective action plan is something that will give you structure. How do you handle it when the employee is told or sold a fluid flush and nobody's watching and they don't do it? And then because we have a quality control process by which the advisor or manager double checks fluids that were sold and finds that it's still old and dirty, that's, again, not a mistake. It's an intentional violation of ethics. So what do we do with that guy? We run him through the corrective action plan, and it's a form and a meeting. It's counseling. We identify the event, number one. Number two, identify the why. And there's a number of whys. Why did he do that? Was it a lack of clear instruction? Was it not on the work order? That could happen. Was it a lack of training? I think Henry Ford defines a lack of training best. He says it's better to train an employee and have them leave than to have never trained them and have them stay.
Yeah, that is the most powerful quote. Absolutely. To justify why people are here at
right.
Vision.
Yeah. What if it was a technical issue? What if there was something wrong with the flush machine? He hooked it up, he unhooked it, thought it was done. It could have been a technical issue. I'm not going to reprimand if our machinery doesn't work. We have to explore and find out. What if it's a personal issue?
Yeah.
Communication issue, a culture issue, or a conflict of priorities.
That's huge.
And then from there, once we've established what and why, we provide a set of actionable steps. You can't just say, bad puppy, don't do that again. I want to give you a set of actionable steps so that you're not tempted to make that poor choice again. It's a way out. It's a way up. It's improvement and growth. You see, a corrective action plan isn't about saying wrong, wrong, wrong. It's about identifying where we misstepped and how to not do that again.
I would bet you that many would say, I can't do a corrective action plan because it still goes back to the technician shortage.
Sure.
If I say, you know, you're going to have 3 days off without pay. Tracy, let me ask you that question. If someone came up to you and said that, you know, you made a grievous mistake and now it's the second time you're doing it, and they say, listen, you're going to have 3 days off without pay. Would a person in the millennial age group that you're in say, yeah, it's right, I'll accept that and I'll be back, or heck with this, I'm going to go find a job tomorrow?
For me, lumping a millennial, and I'm a millennial, you know, I think it really is based on the person themselves. And a lot of people just lump millennials together. This is the millennial, this is how they're going to be. For me, if I make a mistake and it was, you know, unintentional, no one's harder on myself than me. So I'm very, very critical of myself. But other people, they brush it off their shoulder. They don't bear that, okay, this is what happened, and I'm not going to do that again. This is how I correct it and move forward. So it really depends on the person. If you have someone that is like that in your shop that doesn't really understand the reprimand and that it could have been dangerous, this is why we do it, if it was, you know, intentional and then multiple intentionals, and they leave, then I think you're better off finding someone that's going to align with that and hold themselves accountable too.
I didn't mean to lump the millennial thing in there. I just didn't. But because you're here and you're a millennial, that's why I asked. Because I don't have a Gen X sitting in front of me.
I feel like I'm a hybrid millennial. Because I'm a millennial, but I do have a checkbook with me.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's my first checkbook that I've ever had. I have 2 pages left. But I have it and I carry it with me. I have it with me now. Who was it that we were with, and they asked.
Somebody says, do you have a checkbook?
To make a point. And I said, absolutely, here it is.
Yeah. Remind me to never get behind you in the grocery store line.
I have it. See,
no, she
I
doesn't
have,
use checks to pay. Oh, I, no, no.
But I have that as my backup
it's
in case
backup.
I lose a credit card. Okay. So I always travel with it. And that's just.
That's wisdom.
Thank you.
Yeah. She's always got this plan B, plan C. It's a great point, Trace, that you no one would be harder on you than you. Mm-hmm. Do you see that? Do you hear that a lot?
I think that if it ever came down to a termination, if you've three strikes and you're out, you've done the thing. I gave you the criteria. The first strike is a verbal reprimand or and a write-up. Of course, we're going to document the occurrence. The second one would be, again, another write-up and a loss of pay or go home for the day or there's some sort of consequence. And the third one, this one I think is going to lead us to a different line of thinking, is if you have an established team performance bonus that matters to every one of your team members, whether technicians or advisors, and let's just say it's not, hey, y'all get $25 at the end of the month. Please up your game. So let's just say for conversation's sake that every technician, at the end of the month, if we hit our markers and have no issues, every tech gets $500. If we have one employee that violates standards on a third strike, the entire team loses that bonus and they all know it. If that is in place, then I can enact what I believe is the most powerful accountability tool available, peer-to-peer accountability. You see, knowing that my bonus is on the line when somebody hollered second torque, I will not cheat the system and pencil whip my signature. I will second torque. When there's a quality control process that I sign off on as an advisor that documents all fluids are clean, battery has been serviced, tires are actually the new ones that you sold, it matters to me. And I make sure as your peer that you adhere to our standards and values. And when you don't, I love this, when you don't, nobody's raising their hand. Dad, owner, over here. We, as of course adults, manage ourselves with peer-to-peer accountability. We say, hey, technician, that doesn't line up with this particular standard, this particular core value. I don't want to lose my bonus, and I don't want you to lose your job. Let's not do this. And we hold each other accountable, which frees up the owner to not be the babysitter at a shop, not needed because we're all grown-ups. No micromanagement needed when we manage ourselves.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
A wheel falling off. I don't believe for any one person there's a three-strike rule for that. Because to me, that would be, if you did three of those, it's a consistent problem. I mean, bad. I mean, it just can't happen.
Yeah.
As an FYI, it happened to my son once, mm-hmm. from a really good friend.
Yeah.
Shop. And so I'm so into that, you know, that zone with you on that this yeah. issue that you bring up. You probably only need a two-strike rule when it comes to that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can
okay.
have larger failures and. You could look at what's the severity of the consequence of it happening. So, you know, we lose a wheel and somebody gets hurt. There was an instance of a chain repair facility in the West Coast. They did an inspection on a vehicle. And this is known. You can Google it. I'll leave all the details out. They did an inspection on a vehicle. And this vehicle's, one of the tires was separating. But because the technician was not held accountable to the inspection process, he documented it as okay. And the customer drove the vehicle across a couple of state lines and the tire exploded, rolled. And that particular person is now a paraplegic, will never walk again. And that chain business is out $12.5 million and a little bit of reputation. Let that sink in for just a second. So big things do happen, and something like that would be, of course, immediate grounds for termination.
If it was defined as a policy or a consequence.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Versus having somebody that tries to sneak a flush, right? What's a sneak a flush? I'll give you the details. Brake fluid exchange. It's required that all the fluid in the lines and the calipers are, of course, cleaned out. Well, what if I just suck out the reservoir and splash some fresh fluid in there? Hard to catch that on a quality control process because for a few days the fluid looks pretty clean and would even test as clean. But if we have a peer-to-peer accountability system or standard in place, your bays are fairly close. If one tech sees another doing something he knows is wrong, if he doesn't see fluid dripping at the wheels, he calls him on it. It's that standard of peer-to-peer accountability, I think, that really will be, if there's any takeaway from today, it's establishing that culture in your shop.
We got to end there. That was just a perfect ending. Thank you very much. Did you like that?
It was wonderful.
Perfect
summary. Great voice, Clint.
Oh, thank you.
I get to see you in person. I was so excited. So thank you very much for coming. I felt like hanging out.
Yeah.
We're hanging out. And yeah. There happens to be a microphone in front of each of us.
Yeah, cool. Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I'm honored to be here.
This is exactly what needs to be said, and hopefully our listener will take heed of some of these things. Look deep inside, see if you have to have some corrective action inside of your world. Mm-hmm. And just the do-right rule, man.
Absolutely. I think that there's a list of rules that was laid out before mankind many, many years ago. And if you boil them all down, it just says, do the right thing and be a good human. That's what they say. That's what they mean. I think we need to live by that, even in our shops.
Thanks, Clint White. CoachingWithIntegrity.LLC. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.